Hello, and welcome to a new episode of On Air with Air Cargo Next. I am Yael Katzworth, the deputy editor with Air Cargo Next. Today we will be speaking with Brandon Freed, executive director of the Air Forwarders Association. Some of the top concerns for forwarders today, according to Brandon, are continued airport congestion and the need to work with U.S. Customs and Border Protection to assuage the fentanyl epidemic. The Air Forwarders Association is working with forwarders and government agencies to alleviate these concerns, but solutions to these issues require education, collaboration, and persistence. As the Air Forwarders Association works to ameliorate these issues, Brandon Freed expounds upon them and shares the association's goals.
I would begin by talking about our work on Capitol Hill right now concerning the airport cargo area truck congestion issue that we have been engaged in for quite some time following the publication of our 65-page white paper that identified several causes for it. So since then, we've hired a lobbyist and we've joined hands with the National Customs Brokers and Forwarders Association. And recently we have been successful in enlisting three U.S. senators who have successfully requested a General Accountability Office review of the issue.
The three senators with whom the Air Forwarders Association has been working are Mike Braun of Indiana, Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, and Jerry Moran of Kansas. Braun has proved himself to be the Air Forwarders Association's closest ally in the Senate, according to Brandon.
We've been in discussions with his office for a while, and so we had our initial meeting with the General Accountability Office team about 3 weeks ago and provided them with a list of stakeholders. Stakeholders being freight forwarders, trucking companies, ground handlers, real estate people, anyone we could think of that touched airport cargo areas. And we're expecting that interview process to begin shortly. Our hope is that the challenge will be validated, which will pave the way for legislative initiatives that will be able to procure money for airports that need cargo revitalization projects. If they could be anywhere from, a road infrastructure change, could be buildings, could even be automation, buying one of these appointment setting platforms to control or meter the truck congestion at the airport itself. And our approach would be a regional one where there would be a panel that would decide the merits of each request. The panel would be hopefully apolitical, be made up of state, local, county, as well as industry stakeholders that would determine the merits of the request. Our hope is a $4 to $6 billion set aside for this purpose outside of the airport improvement program and, of course, outside of any monies that were granted in the most recent infrastructure bill, which came in woefully short of what was needed. The airport's only got $25 billion and they had requested $115, so I think we can pretty well imagine it's not going to go to any of the cargo areas. So far the road has been challenging, but we're making progress, and that's a good thing. And we also have to remember that we were successfully in the FAA the House version of the FAA reauthorization bill. But when we saw that, stalled in the Senate, that's when we enlisted the Senate offices to assist. And they worked around it and made the request directly to the GAO, which is actually better. Because we're told that if there's a funding mandate in a piece of legislation, you might have to get online with everyone else at GAO. So while Congress is trying to figure out the next step for FAA reauthorization, we're already underway at GAO. So that's one aspect of what we're doing right now. We're excited about it. The other one is we're watching what's happening on illicit drugs and fentanyl coming into the United States. And our messaging on that is that we want to be helpful. and that we believe that Customs and Border Protection needs all the help it can get, and we need to automate, or rather leverage automation and unobtrusive methods in checking for illicit drugs and precursors coming into the United States. But at the same time, we urge caution in any rhetoric, any narrative that calls for inspection of 100% of packages, as an example, coming in. Instead, leveraging data and parsing out the bad actors and taking swift action against them is the preferred approach. And so that means that voters can be spotting red flags, learning how to identify them. We've already had webinars, and we're interacting with CBP frequently on that, because we realize that, you know, it's a scourge, and fentanyl, illicit drugs, killed 100,000 Americans last year. People point to transportation services as the way they're getting into the country, and we say, no, it's probably other things. There's other ways, under conduits, at these are the pathways that these drugs are coming into the country.
Switching gears a little bit, some members of the House and the Senate are looking at amending the de minimis rules, specifically cut out, you know, China and Russia. Yeah. So I just want to get your views on that.
The increase in the de minimis has done exactly what it was intended to do. It increased the amount of the number of e-commerce related shipments coming into the United States. And so I would say we have a robust and healthy e-commerce trade going on now in the United States. That's a good thing. Commerce is flowing as it should. Maybe the not so good thing is that what's in those packages is not necessarily known at all times to federal authorities. So we think that Customs and Border Protection needs, if they're going to keep de minimis at the current level, they're going to need more resources to for detection and for technology that enables them to spot areas of concern. We have members on, I think, a couple sides of the fence. You know, we have some members that have invested heavily in e-commerce and e-commerce transportation. And then we have other members, not so much so. That doesn't mean they're not serving the e-commerce industry. You know, they might be doing it by sending pallets into warehouses, that type of thing. But certainly it's an area that a lot of people are growing concerned about, and we're watching it very carefully.
And this past year was kind of rough for the air cargo market and those in the industry. And I'm wondering, how do you think this past year's market has affected air forwarders?
Well, I think that it has been less than it was in previous years in terms of the volume. We never expected pandemic-related volumes to continue. So we've seen a normalization of shipments coming into the market. At the same time, when we speak to our members, we find that they are still busy, albeit with lower volumes. But they're still out there talking to shippers and offering them creative logistics solutions, because we have other issues now that we need to be concerned with, not the least of which are geopolitical. So, you know, shippers that are, as an example, most of our members handle ocean shipments as well. You know, they're circumventing the Red Sea. They're working on coming around the Horn of Africa. What does that do to their supply chains and to their costs? And oftentimes air cargo is now part of that solution, where there might be a sea component meeting an air component just to make up for the lost time. I think that the volumes are lower, but not as concerning as what I've read in the press, because when I talked to our members, I was just with several of them this week at an event, and each one said, yeah, we're not as busy as we were, but we're still busy. And if I may, I mean, another concern we have is, and we've been watching this pretty carefully, is the Key Bridge incident. I think that points to an issue relating to our nation's infrastructure that we need to address, because the same way those bridge towers were not protected points to a significant lack of attention to not only that, but also to what we're dealing with on the aviation side. with the airport and the cargo area. You know, I think they go hand in hand. This goes hand in hand to what we're seeing at the airports as well, a lack of infrastructure investment. Now, the Biden administration will say, well, we've been investing in airports. And they'll point to certain projects, and they're right. But the only thing I would say to that, my only response is, but the trucks are still waiting 2 to 3 hours at the airports. What gives? So is the money going where it needs to go?
Speaking of spending money, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about digitalizing the industry more, and even though the forwarders are still busy, there is less money coming in. How are you seeing that affecting digitalization efforts, if at all?
Yeah, so the move to automation has been a seismic shift in our industry for the past couple of years. When things were very busy, you know, there's an overabundance of solution providers out there. And it's one of the reasons why at the Air Forwarders Association, we have this technology committee, and we continue to hold webinars where we ask the providers to come and take 10 minutes, explain what their product does, and answer questions from the audience on, you know, how's your product going to make my life easier? How is it going to make my business more efficient? Or are you simply taking off my watch and telling me what time it is? There's a lot of that too. So we feel that it's something that is important, but at the same time, you know, investing just to automate without solving a particular challenge or problem is probably not the most effective strategy. You have to really understand it. And it's difficult because it's a crowded marketplace out there. But I think that we're making up for lost time, you know, for an industry that characteristically leveraged the use of this IBM Selectric typewriter as its primary piece of technology in the office. Things have changed very rapidly. And the members understand that. They tell me about it all the time. But there are a lot of creative solutions out there.
Before we go, any final thoughts to leave us with?
I go back to what I said earlier. I think that one of the things that we had to be vigilant about is that mandates coming from Capitol Hill or the White House that say that the freight forwarders are the solution for all of the issues that we're dealing with, vis-a-vis the fentanyl, the illicit drug kind of thing. And we have to be very cautious about mandates calling for 100% physical inspection of every package. We've got data, and we think that if leveraged properly, that data can be very powerful. But we can't slow the flow of commerce in the process. And that's our message to Washington. We have to keep things moving along.
We thank Brandon for his time and insights into the current struggles facing freight forwarders. You can look for more coverage and stay up to date on industry news at aircargonext.com.